This is about you, me, we, and our untapped potential. This is The Huge Upside.
Hey, everyone. What's up? This is... Who is Mikhail? Or I would like to refer myself as I am him lately. Been starting this personal brand. I don't know how this will go, but feel fuck with me. Please follow me wherever I go. Just... look me up. Who is Mikhail? And yeah, that's my name, Mikhail. I've been hosting this show, Huge Upside, for quite some time now. And here we are, year 2023. We're still here, baby. And been talking to all sorts of folks, all walks of life. And so this is just so much fun to do. And right this moment, I'm going to talk to somebody from across the world. I think he's from Colorado, and if y'all heard that song, Butter, yeah, he's one of them cats from Butter. Such a great collection of artists. What a great song, though.
Definitely appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Foreign Logic. Bro, thank you for being here. This is your screen name, right? So, you know, I have to ask, like, what's your real name, bro?
So my real name is Josh, man. But I go by Foreign. Used to go by like other names and stuff, but Foreign is stuck now.
Yeah. Foreign Logic seems like something that's very alien and something that's not common, right?
For sure. Try to be.
Right. Hey. Thanks for doing this. We were talking about off cam or backstage, if you will, that this is one of your first like podcasts you've been to.
Yeah, so this is definitely gonna be this is actually my first official podcast back as an artist here in a little while now, probably like I would say like 2 years now.
Oh shoot. Hey, glad to do this. You were one of those cats in Butter, though. So I just want to just ask right away, you've been an artist all your life, or like what? If you're an artist, then what were you doing a while back? And you know, just take us through this backstory of like Foreign Logic here. Or...
Okay. So before Foreign Logic, there was Chino Green. Chino Green was whole different type of artist. It was more so like I'm not sure if you guys know about like the drill music scene, like they have in Chicago, like Lil Durk and like that whole little scene over there, right?
You mean similar to like a UK drill or something like that?
Yeah, in a sense. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I wouldn't say like we were doing like drill music. I was actually doing like more like aggressive, like street, like trap music and stuff like that, because of a particular, in a sense, time of my life, I guess you would say.
Hold on. How old are you now?
I'm actually 30, man.
Oh, props, man. Still young.
Yeah. I mean, it's young but old. But I mean, I had a
hitting your 30s, like, do you feel that you're old for your age or what?
I'll be honest with you, man. Like being 30 right now, I haven't really felt like I'm hit that like old phase. You know, like I still feel like I could fit in with the young crowd. And a lot of people definitely tell me, like, you know, when I tell them my age, you look at me like I'm crazy, you know. But it's all the nature's greens.
Show them.
You know what I'm saying? So. And it's also good energy, man. Like, it's experience, bro. Like, being 30 in this, I feel like being 30 in this game is just like being 20 in this game, honestly. It's kind of weird to say. True. Just because, like, you know, when you're a little bit younger, you're, like, young-minded. So you're thinking about the money. You're thinking about the materialistic and, like, the whole image. You know what I'm saying?
The naivete and the inexperience. Yeah, yeah,
you know, like, and then you get older. Like, bro, like, I'm 30 now. So it's like, I look at it as more as a business perspective and like not just the whole talent. The talent, of course, is going to be there, but it's like, what else do you bring to the table other than the talent? Can you hold yourself like presentable in, you know, higher meetings and stuff like that with different execs? And do you know how to formally speak and present yourself as an artist and a brand, and it's just not just a rapper, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so sure.
It's a little bit harder, bro, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh yeah. Plus, okay, I guess this is where the experience comes in, and then you've been in through those situations where like you wished like, oh, I could have said this much better, or I could have presented my way in such a nice fashion, like, you know, I get to fit the norms or but hey, I mean, this is such a good time to be an artist or to finally declare yourself to be as such, because I don't know, like there's so much cultural shift going on. Like being an artist has to be on your portfolio, or at some point you have to put that in your resume.
Yeah, like a creative direction for sure.
Yeah, I've seen you know your guy Cookies, he showed me at one point his CV.
Yeah.
And it was like, what the hell? I was at the back of my mind, like I was kind of being cynical and like, oh, you would put your career, I mean your experience as an artist in your resume, and then you would rack up like, this is the number of subs I have, this is the number of traction I have. Like, is that a legit thing now? Like you gotta put that in the resume?
Like, I'm not gonna lie, man, like that's something that Pizza Palace is definitely like teaching me for sure.
Right.
It's because like before, man, like I felt like I did have like different like innocent business partners and management before. So a lot of it was still independent, even though I was with different managing, just because they'll tell you like, okay, so you want to work on your image, you want to work on what you post on like your social media. So if you're doing shows, like, so I'm actually originally from Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia. And
you and Lewis, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I met him out there, which was like crazy, man. But especially at the time that we met. But like, yeah, like the whole concept of the streams and the marketing and all of that stuff, like, is fairly new to me, just because like before you could just post something and, you know, bro, everybody's going to see it somehow, some way. You know what I mean?
Like, but there's a science to it, right?
Yeah, like now there's like a whole science and like everything and an algorithm. And I'm just like, bro, what?
What do you mean? This does not exist.
No, I didn't do good in science.
I mean, it's so funny. Like, you come to think of it, like back in the early 2000s, like we weren't even talking about algos. Like, we were just focused on the craft. Like, people were just focused on the craft and how to
drop it stuff.
Yeah, how to create demand, how to be like noticeable, right? But
yeah.
Today you gotta play all your cards right. Like, you have to present yourself, you have to make a good song, and then the music video, the visualizer, like, what?
Yo, bro, like now it's like, see, before you, like, as an artist, when you go to like these showcases and stuff, you wouldn't take like the people there serious when they're like, oh yeah, you got to invest this or you got to invest that, you know what I'm saying? Like studio time, a video person, freaking, you know, showcases and your image at showcases. Like, you know, think about all that. Like, you're just like, man, I just got to perform, have a good song, and I'm good, you know? No.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. So it's like, now it's a lot more, it's like playing a sport, you know, like you have to come up with a good game plan to understand not your competition, but just understand what you're competing towards, like what your goals are. And I will have to say, like, now it's a little bit more strategic, but I feel like that shows people, as well as your, like your fans and people who actually like want to interact with you as an artist, it shows like you're willing to put that work in too, you know? And it's not just like, oh, I'm a rapper, here's a song, do what you will with it. You know what I mean? It shows like you're creative too.
You gotta dance, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like, this isn't like a one-time gig. Like, you know, it's not what it used to be. Like, you know, like you would just rely on the radio waves or some hotshot agent who like would run do stuff for you. Now you have to be in front of the camera. Now you have to hop on podcasts. Now you have to have like, now you have to be dancing on TikTok.
Yeah, bro, like that TikTok thing. But see, how, what are we supposed to do now? They're supposed to be taking TikTok away from us, bro. So it's like,
really?
What are we supposed to do? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, now there's like so many different like waves and different things. Like, you got to be on top of it. Like, for instance, the whole thing about the blue check verification thing. Like,
oh, I love it. Do you think it's fair though?
I mean, okay. So I'm 50-50 with it just because like, so
you want the blue. So you want the blue check, huh?
I mean, okay. So look at it like this, bro. If you go to Spotify, I got a blue check on Spotify.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you go to Cash App, I got a cash. Like, I'm a blue check. I got a Cash App even all the way down to like every single platform that I have music on. But then you get on social media, like that's not enough for you to, you have to have a bigger social media presence.
Yeah.
And you also have to think about like, yo, I can get black, like shadow banned on social media. I can, there's something, like I can
shadow ban shit.
Yeah, bro. Like I've posted something, bro. And I haven't been like, I just now got my life back, bro. I have been live jail.
What have you been up to, man? Like what's your social media behavior? Like why these platforms have to put a lid on you?
Okay, so think about it like this. So I'm in Colorado, right?
Right.
So in Georgia, okay, so if I'm posting like cannabis or shouting out a dispensary or something like that, then I would completely understand. But like here in the state of Colorado, like I've worked in dispensaries, I grow cannabis legally, you know what I mean? Like everything that I do with cannabis is fully legal. So I'm trying to work on a sponsorship with a dispensary I used to work with. Just because they have new management, they got great products, they know about the products, they have great employees, great customer service, et cetera, right? So they had a giveaway going on. And I specifically stated, if you are in Colorado, tap in with this dispensary. It wasn't saying anything was for sale.
Yeah, that's you know? So weird.
Yeah, bro. And they like kind of like
For how long? I mean, did they ban you yet?
So actually, like, this would be my second or third Instagram. Before I used to be kind of like hot-headed. I will say
you do remind me of this one local producer we have. Shout out to like the guy who basically birthed this podcast right here. Such a cultural dude in my locality in Cagayandero City. You do remind me of him. Like he does, like he had banned here, there, like the platform squeezing the life out of his reach.
Yeah.
You know, just because he talks about stuff like people regularly don't talk about, or probably like, the algos think, I mean, the platforms thinking like you're inciting a mob or something like that. I mean, but come to think of it, in social media, you'll come across like content creators who like talk about that stuff nonstop. Like, that's so weird.
Yeah, that's like their clickbait. And like, I say shout out to Lewis for that too, because like he helped me with like lowering my ban risk.
Oh,
because like,
you had to work,
bro,
on
like
it, huh?
You had to like talk to me like before, bro. I'm so like outspoken. Like I don't like to hold my tongue with certain things. Like I'm very passionate about, like, you know, for instance, the cannabis industry. I'm very passionate about that. I've done a lot of studies since I've been out here. So like, you know, I see a lot of people speak down on it, but then it's like, now we have other countries. Like if I remember correctly, like the Philippines, you guys just opened up a dispensary out there, right? If I remember correctly, like
I'm not sure though, but I think are you talking about Mike Swift?
Yeah,
Mike Swift. He didn't open in our country.
Yeah,
he opened in Thailand.
Oh, I thought it was in I thought it was out there. Like, no lie.
So
I was trying to figure it out too, because I was like, I was about to ask, like, how is the cannabis like out there?
Bro, it's not legal yet.
No.
No. I'm gonna hope there would come the day, but all these talks of cannabis outside the Philippines just gets folks worked up over here, because you know it's not yet a point of discussion whether to legalize it or not. So
that's crazy, bro. And see, that's like, and stuff like that, like I would speak on strongly about stuff like that. And before, I used to indulge in music feuds and stuff like that. So it's cool. I had to realize though, like as an artist, you have to separate particular lifestyles, man.
So you had to tone it down, huh?
Yeah, man. And I didn't realize that for sure. Like I can admit that, just because I never really saw like having a filter as something that was needed, just because
but you're fine with it.
Yeah, like I feel like because there's an image, not just to image to withhold, but like you got to think of it as like your actual business, like your actual company, your how you speak and perceive things. Yes, you might have your opinion with certain things, but sometimes like how you might word it or how you might go about it might offend the people like nowadays, and you have to think about that. And so sometimes it doesn't mean that you have to like shelter yourself or not have your own opinion. It's just more so being cautious and being humble enough to know about other people's like feelings as well.
That's so true. I mean, back then people give me feedback regarding that. Like, I get my feelings hurt, but but the numbers don't lie. And folks sometimes like they find that aversive, but that's not on them and that's not on us.
Yeah.
I guess there's probably a crowd for us. Like, have you tried other platforms? Like, are you on Rumble? Like, there's these platforms like don't give a shit,
Yeah. And that's what we like been researching too, because I actually want to start a podcast here too.
Oh, go for it, man.
And that's something that like I'm gonna have like, and I even actually would love to have you a part, just because you've definitely made me a part of your platform.
Oh, thanks, bro.
And no, I appreciate you, man. I really do, because it's like you definitely helped me with like different fan base, different like people are being able to
indirectly. Like, I don't even know. Like, at the back end of stuff, like we don't even know like if we're helping folks out here. But just the idea that, like we can just talk to somebody.
Yeah. And I mean,
let's have a podcast.
Yeah, like I mean, personally though, like I always see it as a plus, just because like it's hard for us to even be able to get out there, especially with like so much stuff that's going on in the world, And stuff like that. So being able to be on a platform in another country that we aren't able to fully have access to, it's awesome. There's no way that you can look at it in a negative perspective, and like what you're doing is awesome, man. Like to even be able to speak to you about the song Butter and just like what we're doing, and just me as an artist, like I'm deeply humbled for this opportunity.
Yeah, I've kind of always felt like artists always had that platform, MTV or Channel V or whatnot, but hell, there's an A-list. Like there's only a few people who can be on those platforms, but I mean there's so many artists these days and today, like, and they're, I don't know, man, the culture has changed so much that there's a influx of artists that, like, if I may say, and I hope I don't offend anyone, there's a surplus of artists right now. And I think that demand has not quite reached to it yet, because the current attention is, I wouldn't say it's not evenly distributed. And that's fair. Like, the distribution just says, just gives props and credits to the folks who deserve it, like the people who were early, the people who capitalized on a certain time, and then they get what they deserve. They get the the whole piece of the pie.
Yeah.
And there's other folks such as myself who like want to be my own Joe Rogan in my area, or want to be like, you know what I'm saying, that I want to be the yeah. Tim Ferriss of my city. There's folks such as me. So like we have the grind, like, you know, and yeah. This is such a beautiful thing. And we are actually and because there's not a platform or there's no other artists who want to fuck with us, this makes this so much more interesting for you and I, for you and me, and for other individuals such as you and I, because now we are presented with an opportunity and we get to be creative and how to go about like make our own opportunities. And this is I won't say like I'll be the first, but I just want to say like this is what we do, that we get to normalize this kind of like communities. Like there's a new niche community that does this, like bounce off energy with each other. It may be the sample size may be small now, but I just can't wait to see the day like somebody else takes this and rides off with it. Like it may not happen in our time, but you know, somebody else was gonna scale this on a whole bigger level.
Of course, because like right now I feel like, so like exactly what you're doing is in a sense kind of like what I want to do here in Colorado, because like a lot of the podcasts out here, it's like they don't shine light or shed light to the artists in this state. They right. shed light to like more artists in different states instead of their hometown.
And the it's diaspora. Like,
yeah, like why would you, like you got artists out here who should definitely get that kind of attention.
Hey,
that
hey man, I may get some heat on what you're going off, Clay. Because when you say that, like, oh, you're not from here, bro. So what I'm saying, like, hey, why is huge upside? Why is this platform talking to like? But this is more than that, actually. We're actually trying to connect the dots. Like we're just not limited to where we are, right?
Yeah, and that's why it's like I don't. And the reason why I say that, and it's not. And I hope you're not gonna get like, you know.
Nah, they don't mind. Work.
But it's like the only reason why I say that is because you are still doing artists in your country, like that's in your true. Area. You know what yeah. I mean? And you're doing it in a sense where you're actually able to shine light on them as an artist, like what they have going on, who they are, backstories, et cetera. You know what I mean? Like actually caring about them as an artist. Whereas a lot of platforms, they just want that clickbait. They want to rile stuff up or, you know, whatever the case may be. And it takes away the attention of the talent of that artist. And I feel like there's so many artists out here that really don't get that attention that they need or deserve, and it kind of like shuns people to shut down a little bit, like, ah, you know, like I love to do this music thing, but you know, they want me to do outlandish things for me to get attention, you know what I mean? And it's like that's not everybody's forte. Like people want to be true to themselves and just be honest, you know. And I feel like now we have these platforms to be able to do so, like right. for instance here with you, the podcast with Lewis that he has with Young J.
Peer Pressure, shout out.
And at the same time, you know, like there's also a podcast that we're trying to get in motion. There's actually two where we talk about like lyrics and we break down like, you know, hey, you know, where was like your mindset when you like made this verse, or
how that's did you so cool this
verse, you know what I mean? And
like there's a genre within podcasts, like fuck, it's such a mind yeah, fuck, man. Like that's what like, I love about what this kind of genre, bro.
And it's awesome because like now like it's given me the comfortability to be able to talk about stuff that, you know, bringing a homie on and having like great vibes and just being able to talk about stuff that
people have we together.
Yeah, you know, like, and bring attention to other platforms too. Like there's a lot of businesses out here that I definitely want people to have more attention to, because I feel like there's more independent companies than there are like actual businesses out here, and they don't get enough
correct attention. 100% Yeah, so, and we all want the piece of that pie.
No, man, I spend more money on like food trucks here in Colorado than like actual like restaurants or whatever the case may be. Like just because it's more authentic, man. Like there's like a place that I go to for like my tacos. I like Birria Tacos and
Shout out.
and I mean, dude, like I found them accidentally and I've been going to them since. And like I've had them come to like a couple events and vendor a couple events and stuff like that. They're
Wow.
still, man,
That's powerful, man. I
so
mean,
it's like
the relationship extended way beyond
yeah.
after the tacos. Like, there's a French that's important. Like we all I think we've been groomed as a society, we've been groomed like to be transactional and for it to be like a one-time thing,
Yeah.
right?
Keep it 100 stores, man. Yeah,
I mean, that's just so powerful. I like that. Like, I had to sit myself down and try to understand like why. This is not to take away on like I had like previous guests here.
yeah.
It's not their fault. I mean, I don't. We don't point fingers at anyone. But the relationship just stopped right then and there.
Yeah.
But that's not on them. Like we don't want to be blaming. Maybe we just don't click, or maybe that was just a one-time thing, and then we gotta move on. And that's part of life. But a lot now I've gotten to a point, not the platform, but me myself, like I've really taken full advantage of this platform to actually build relationships.
I'm
Not
sure you
just
man.
man, what we do, what I do or what you do, we get to have access to folks. Like access is such a powerful currency right now. Right? Like you want to have Pizza Palace on, like you want to have Foreign Logic on, you got to have some type of reputation or some type of I don't know, out
It's a little
maybe.
more access. It's a little bit
Right?
harder to get access now, just because,
Exactly.
like, I mean, you want to be protective and you want to have boundaries too nowadays.
Sure.
And before, I feel like there were so many like non-boundaries with like particular people, business partners, and stuff like that. And it turned into what it became. It became whether it was bad business plans or bad business deals, whatever.
Right.
I feel like not giving so much access at first and being able to like really see what people's intentions are, it's very and this industry is very serious in particular,
So
because
true.
like a lot of people like to ride a coat wave, a lot of people like to ride a particular wave, like you're saying, and they'll once they see that, okay, cool, I got a little bit of tension or whatever, then they'll vanish, but
Yeah,
I mean,
culture vultures.
once you cut so much access off, I mean, it's a little bit easier to see that before it gets to where it's at, and
True.
again, I have to definitely appreciate my team for that. The whole Pizza Palace team, the whole 7-7 team as a
Hey,
whole.
can you take me through that whole 7-7 team, like the palace? What was it called again? Like the full prod? It's
So you got Pizza Palace, and then the brand itself is like 777. Lewis is
the head of the snake.
he's like the head honcho, man. Like
Yeah.
a major shout out to him, because
Shout out.
honestly, I was in a shell for like a couple of years when I came out here. I was just focused on like working or focused on raising my daughter. So I wasn't really too in tune like with music. But my little brother at the time was living with me, and he was kind of like on my top, like, yo, you got to get back. You got people who are waiting for music, this and
Right.
third. So I put out a couple things here and there, and Lewis reached out to me. He was like, hey man, how you been? And I saw a couple like instrumentals that he put out. I'm like, yo, you make beats, bro.
Yeah,
Yo, this is hard. Yo, like, yo, do you mind if I like, try to do something with him? And shoot, we kind of like started from there, and he was kind of like telling me like what he had going on and just like business ideas, and we kind of like rekindled a relationship. It wasn't ever like tarnished or anything like that. We just kind of like shoot, he went to like New York, man. And like he went like just what he does, he went full into like business work mode, and that's deeply respected, because I mean, he has everything to show for it. And it's awesome what he's done within the time that he's been away. And to be able to do what we're doing today. And, bro, I wouldn't have been able to even think about having an interview on a podcast with the likes of you in another country, or even just be able to be on a song with the likes of like Cookies or, you know, Heartbreaker. Like, that to me was huge. You know what I mean? Like, and it was just based off of a couple songs, like, yo, try to do something with this, you know, like, what do you think about this beat right here? And then we just started building up a business plan after that. And man, honestly, it's been like, it's been full sales from there. Like, honestly, like the whole 777 brand and just the whole image behind Pizza Palace, I think it's dope just because, I mean, to me, it was a lucky opportunity to be able to be a part of this before it became something bigger. And to even be on these songs, man, like, it's a lot of work, man.
Sure. It pays to be early.
Dude.
Yeah, I mean, Lewis could have just picked somebody else, or, you know what I mean, like,
yes, he definitely
could. You can feel the gratitude of, you know, of that moment, like, wow.
It was
life-changing.
Definitely, man, definitely.
But that takes a lot of guts too, because you're a dad, and you know what you do. I don't know, like, how music is perceived as wherever you are, in Atlanta or Colorado. That's always such a huge risk to go for something creative.
Yeah,
it's a big risk.
Yeah, like, I'm not gonna lie, like, you know, it's definitely not my first, like, my parents' first choice for sure.
Yeah.
But you know, it's one of those things where you gotta, like, really believe in yourself, just because, like, I mean, I feel like I had a story to tell. There's a lot of things that happened growing up. There was a lot of things that I experienced, and, you know, I was kind of, like, shelled and masked from being able to, like, really talk about. And being a man in this kind of generation, man, like, you kind of shut off and just kind of hide those feelings anyway. So there is, like, you know, two choices. Am I going to sit there and go crash out in the streets, or am I going to put it into something that's going to be productive for me, that, you know, could possibly help somebody? And it took a little bit of time to really understand that I actually could have that voice to help people. But once I realized it, man, just wanted to put it all into music, just because my youngest daughter, she listens to my music today. Like, so, like, you know, before, like, you know, my oldest daughter, you know, she used to be able to be in the studio and stuff with me too. She's recorded a couple songs herself. But, like, my youngest, I would say, like, she's definitely more, like, active when it comes down to me recording, because I record at home now, you know. So, like, when I'm recording, she'll, like, sneak into the room. Like, she will either, like, sit in my lap to start playing with the laptop to try to hear the song itself. And I get her opinion first, bro. She listens to every song first.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, man. You know, this is something that, you know, nobody can ever, or nothing can ever take this away from you now. Because you having the opportunity to have that legacy, like a potential Kobe was to Gianna. Something like that. Sheesh. Like, and you get to see it firsthand on a day-to-day basis. Like, you know.
Yeah, it's a great feeling for sure. You know, like, so it makes me definitely, like, get out of my comfort zone and try to make different music, because obviously you don't need a little girl listen to, like, her father going crazy on a song and, like, talk about all this, like, shooting and whatever, you know. So, like, you know, it's now we making fun music and just reflective music about, like, where we came up from, or just giving people the opportunity to understand, like, how we came up. And, like, now we're just trying to, like, live our lives, man, and have a good time.
Yeah, man, you can't discount the fact that we all have to go through a phase. And And it's just so fun to see now, like, your craft having to adjust and evolve to the current environment you're in. So that means, like, we are, like, artists or creatives are flexible like that. Like, they also adjust and adapt to the circumstances. Like, that's such a good thing, you know. Like, back then, like, opportunities were so limited for creatives and artists. Like, they get to box you in one dimensionally, like, you know, like, for music, for a producer, there was just making beats and that's it. But now, like, you have to think of a way, like, how to adjust and navigate the current market. Like, it's so complex, you know, and it's so nice to see your work, like, in different angles. Like, oh shit, like, I produce beats for this trap group, but I'll also produce beats for Coco Melon or something like that.
Bro, if I could do some stuff like that, man, I'm not gonna lie to you, man. If I can one day, like, make, like, a kid's song or whatever, and, like, have my daughter, like, I don't know, be like the face of it, that'd be dope. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, bro, I'm not gonna lie, bro, that Coco Melon, man, they got the most streams on everything. Like, they got the most streams in the world, bro. So it's like, think about it.
A lot of money in that, man.
Yeah, you make a kid jingle, bro, you rich forever.
Yeah, and the thing is, those are formative years, bro. Like, those things get remembered for life. Those kids won't forget. And when they get old, that's just like memory muscle for them. Like, yeah, I used to hear this back then. Like, oh, right? Can never go wrong with children, the genre involved with children, though.
What is it? That one, there's like a show, I remember watching it always on Saturday, the Jackie Chan Adventures, bro. Or Shaolin Showdown. That was like my show back in the day, bro, like when I was a kid. So it's like they've been like reposting these short clips and stuff. Like, yo,
on shorts.
My daughter, I'm like, yo, look at this.
Right? This is what daddy used to. Like, yo, watch this. What daddy used to watch back then. But come to think of it, bro. Okay, go ahead.
No, you're good.
All right, like, come to think of it, that, like, children products and children types of content have lasting effects. Like, I think that's where the money is, man.
I'm trying to tell you, bro. Like, I don't know, man. Like, my daughter, I don't know what it is, bro. She's just been finding, like, all of these different shows, man. Like, she watches Coco Melon or some of these shows. I don't even know what the hell it is. But hey, it keeps her entertained. She's good to go. I'm good.
Yeah, as long as it, you know, doesn't influence them the other way, you know, we're still good with that.
Man, yeah.
But it's so strange, though, like, what we can find in today's media and what kids are consuming, you know, like, as a parent, like, navigating through that, how does that make you feel? Like, that, well, children can just find something instantly that could probably be the whole narrative, or, like, probably change their behavior, or probably, like, change them.
I mean, honestly, like, I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, I have this conversation with my daughter's mom all the time, because it's like, you gotta think. And it's not like, I really hope that the community, like, understands it's not nothing wrong or anything like that. But it's more so, like, nowadays, you know, like, for the oh, goodness, I don't even know all, like, the letters of the whole acronym, the LGB, you know, the community, you know what I'm saying? Like, I get a lot of, like, I ask myself a lot, you know, like, you know, if my daughter, or if I had a son, like, you know, like, how would we go about it? Because a lot of the times nowadays, it's because of things that they've seen, or something that they've watched, or something that nowadays that they're learning in school. And in my opinion, it's just, nowadays, so out in the open, you know what I mean? And the times that we grew up, it was more secluded, and not that people, in my opinion, it wasn't that people were, like, scared to be open about themselves. I just felt like there wasn't so much media about it. So, like, I think about things like that. I think about, like, you know, even, like, the violent shows that I watch around her, or whatever I might have on the TV around her, just because, you know, these kids take things in like a sponge. And it doesn't matter if it's
Ooh,
you.
100.
Like, doesn't matter if it's you. It could be like somebody that they tend to watch on a daily that they learn to look up to, you know, that might do something out of the ordinary that they're going to probably, you know, try to want to do. And, you know, we catch them in the act and they don't understand why, like, oh, well, this person, you know, they're on the TV or I saw it in a book. Like, why is it wrong? And you have to explain to your child, like, you know, some of these things that are out there for us is not really out there for us in a positive manner, you know? So it's a little bit hard. Like, I have to think about the whole, if my daughter wants to smoke weed, if my daughter wants to smoke cigarettes, like, am I going to be contradicted? Like, no, nah, hell no, you can't smoke weed. Like, no, you can't smoke cigarettes. And then she sees me smoking, like, bro, she's going to become, like, I don't know, rebellious. Like,
the girl version of you.
Yeah, so it's like I have to understand a little bit more. I have to understand my daughter's going to be a little bit more sensitive if I, in a sense, raise her that way. But I'm a little bit more stern on my daughter just because, like, I know the kind of world that we live in today, and it's not to take her away. I want her to experience things. I'm not going to, you know, she wants to go to a party. I'm going to just give her my, like, as a father, like, precautions, but just not as her father, as her friend. Like, look, you know, a lot of people say that they don't want to have friendships with their kids because they lack the the respect later or something like that. But I mean, I don't see that same thing. You know what I mean? Like, I want my daughter to see me as her best friend, because who does she tell all her deeper secrets to? Her best friend. You know what I mean? Like, and I want to make sure that I'm there. I want to make sure that she can be open about whatever, whether it's sex, even though it's going to be an awkward ass conversation. But, you know, like,
yeah, like that's just such a, those things are so tough to open up to your kids.
Yeah,
I remember in the, when we have like dinner or with the family, those things are such a taboo on the table. Like, you don't openly talk about those stuff, like, right?
You know, exactly. And it's got to, like, you know, I have to think about it. Like, you know, nowadays, I feel like kids are more sexualized to, like, a lot of things. So it's like the conversation might come up a little bit faster. You know what I mean? So I have to mentally prepare myself as a father of daughters. You know what I'm saying? That, all right, we got to get real, real quick. This might be the time you smoke a blunt with your father.
Right. Hey, man, it's gonna happen anyway, or it might potentially happen. Like, so have your first roll up with me, or
let's roll up.
In my context, like, have your first bottle, like, you know, something like that.
Yeah, because I mean, at the end of the day, I have to come to the realization it's going to happen one day. I have to come to the realization is that these conversations are going to happen one day, and being able to hopefully financially be stable with the career path that I choose, I'd be able to give more attention to her, to be able to talk about these things and have more time. Because I mean, working 9 to 5 just been a staple, and you know, it's definitely been hard to still be a parent and be there and not be tired, and you know, like, it makes you feel bad as a parent sometimes. So, like, it makes you just a little bit more.
And the good thing with this is, like, you get to have a bedroom type of like producing like a bedroom producer and stuff. Like, would you call yourself as such? Like, are you a bedroom producer?
I would say engineer in a sense. Like,
okay, the engineer. I gotta get my verbiage right.
No, it's good, bro.
You're a sound engineer, and you get to do this at home, right?
Yes, sir. And I would say, like, I wouldn't say I'm like the best, but I mean, but at the same time, like, I mean, now that I have the tools that I need, it's a little bit easier for me to, like, actually engineer myself to the point where the quality is decent enough, so when I send it to, like, Lewis to get it mixed and mastered, then it's a little bit easier, you know what I mean? Like, whereas before, bro, I didn't even know how to send stems. I didn't know how to send, like, track outs, bro. You couldn't ask me what a track out was. I'm like, what?
so for sake of context, for anyone's listening, what is it then?
So, like, track outs are, like, your, in a sense, like, your vocal stem. So when you record, once you press that record button, it's going to come up with, like, a bracket. And once you press end, it's going to, like, in a sense, stay. Like whatever you recorded is going to be in a little box. Okay. The boxes, in a sense, are your stems or your track outs. So when you want to, let's say you want to get your song mixed and mastered, and that producer or the engineer who's going to do the mixing and mastering isn't either in the same state or they didn't work on that session, you want to be able to like download that whole, like, well, in a sense, bounce that whole file of the whole song and be able to send that whole thing that's on front of your computer. You want to be able to send that to the engineer so that they can have all that, make sure all the placements are straight. Like it's a lot of work, but
yeah.
It's pretty cool. Like I definitely have to say.
Yeah, I get you. I also work around like audio myself. So I would have like a slight idea. I'm not one of them cats like does beats, although I wish I knew how, but I just kind of understand the concept behind that, because I with the podcast, so I have to edit the audio. So, you know, yeah. So I think it's just the same thing, you know,
in a sense,
sound engineering. But the idea is, you said like you may not be the best, but you're doing the best for you, because dude, you're doing this at home, right? Like that, and you get to be with family. Imagine all the folks who do their 9-to-5s, yeah, have to like do a commute and be stuck in traffic for like, be stuck in traffic for like half the whole year. Like if they compound over time, yeah, and you multiply that to their probably like half of their life, that, mm-hmm, basically ends up you're in commute like 25% of your whole lifespan.
Yeah. And that was one
which you could have like done something so much more productive with family, right? Or with passion. I mean,
that's definitely one of the reasons as to like why I learned how to engineer, like for sure. Just because, like, for instance, studio time, like, would be, if I remember correctly, when I was paying for studio time in Georgia, I'd say like $50 to $60 an hour, and you have to do like a minimum of two. But like, I just feel like sometimes it's like a finesse, bro, because like sometimes, like, as soon as you get to the studio, your time starts. You know what I mean? Like, you don't even get time to get settled. You don't get time to, like, you know, get your vocals right, whatever the case may be. You know what I mean? Like, some engineers, I'll work on it after. Yeah, you record. But I'm one of those artists that I want to hear how it's going to sound, in a sense, on the track in my headphones. So when I record, I like to hear myself. I like to hear, ideally, what it's going to be like. And if I can't do that and I have to feel like it's rushed, I got to rush my creative process. And I don't like to rush my creative process. I like to make art. You know what I mean? And I don't know.
Yeah, you're just in the zone. And you just don't want this to sound like something like you don't want it to sound, right?
Yeah, I don't want it to sound rushed. You know,
it's your baby. It's would you parallel this to a, like, your craft or your music, making music as something to like child rearing, or like being a father, like how you would build this song up?
I would say what's more of like parenting, in a sense, is when you're working with your business partners. Because it's like, before I was so, I'm not saying that I'm not in control now, because Lewis allows me to, like, I'm free.
Creative freedom, yeah.
Like, I have the creative freedom to, which was awesome, because before I didn't have that, you know? So before it was more so like, let me hear it. All right, let's go ahead and put this out. All right, I'm going to have you perform this like 50 times in different clubs. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, it's cool. But at the same time, it's like tiring, man. Like, so you get to this point where instead of being able to just put the music out and this is in a third, now I'm listening to more people as far as like their experience, their business plans, and how they feel like to market it and the best way to do so. And now it's more so like I'm the kid, in a sense, and I have to understand, like, hey, look, the way that you act, the way that you do this, the way that you present yourself, these are the things that like other people are going to see you as. So you want to make sure that the way that you see yourself is the way that you would want, in a sense, my kids to see myself when she sees me out in public or wherever the case may be, in the way, same way that I would want my kids to present themselves. So it gets to that sense of, so sorry, do you hear my dogs?
No, it's totally fine. My dogs bark too. Yeah.
Okay.
We need the ASMR though.
but no, man, like it's one of those things where, you know, it's a learning process. It's definitely a learning process. So I would feel like the whole business aspect is the more parenthood than the whole music. The music is easier, man. Like,
yeah, I figure.
Like the music is easy, man. Recording the music is easy, but actually, like understanding the business, that's when I was like, I'm in school, I'm in class, I have to learn, you know, I have to understand. Okay, watch this clip, like watch this video right here. So you can understand, like, when you have the camera in your hand, how to do this, how to do that, you know, and which is awesome because, like, before, oh, man, like, it's hard. Before, like, bro, you're just jumping in water, but now, like, in a sense, you're learning how to swim, you know what I mean? You're learning how to float, and now you're learning how to be independent and do things on your own. So, I mean, that's where I would say, like, it's the major, like, parenthood aspect of this whole career process.
Well, that right there is important because this is why these platforms exist. So people have more context. Like, you know, that guy just ain't making beats or just ain't making music. There's a whole depth into that goes into this, you know. It's just sometimes I feel like people don't actually understand. I'm just going to take it through here. So people don't understand like what we go through because we just lack the depth and the context of the what you do, what we do. Like having to understand the business side of things is nobody teaches you that.
Nope.
Right? You have to learn that. Like
used to be my best friend.
Right? Nobody teaches us to do these things, man. It's there's so like how J Wolf you guys friends with J Wolf, right?
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah.
Definitely working on some projects for sure. Like definitely shout out to him too, man, cuz yeah. Like it was so crazy, man. Like the whole Butter project and how it all got started and being able to be a part of that project was just insane, just because like one, the song title, the story behind that was funny as hell to me.
Oh yeah. yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then when I heard the song, like it was even more crazy because so I grew up listening to Heartbreaker. Heartbreaker was like an artist that, man,
everybody looked up to.
Man, what in the if you're doing music in the South or in the Asian community at all, and if you ain't heard of Heartbreaker, I don't think that you was trying to do music back then. You know what I'm saying? Like Heartbreaker, Young Jay, Tavia G, you know, like that whole little scene, you know what I mean? Like, man, they gave Asians hope. Shit. Wow. You know what I'm saying? Because like at the same time, like, bro, like you didn't see a lot of Asian artists. They didn't take us serious. You know, it was a little bit different for me just because of like my ethnic background. You know what I mean?
Right.
But other than that, like, you know, to be able to be on a song with somebody I used to look up to. Now we're on songs together. And then the
background. Now DMing each other.
Yeah, bro. Like, and then on top of that, you got like the likes of Cookie, bro. Like this man's been on tour. He's out there in the Philippines. Like
just bananas he's what he's doing.
Crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like I've seen like a lot of his videos, and I don't want to say the title's wrong just because I don't want to.
I got your back.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm dealing with a couple of his songs.
So like. Like when I started seeing the videos and like when Lewis first introduced us, like, man, I was kind of like taken back because his styles of videos, like his swag, like the whole nine yards, it was all like you wouldn't expect that, man. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and it was dope. Like the whole imagery, everything was awesome. So to be able to be a part of that and then also see J Wolf's like creative style and everything too, like, yo. Yeah. they're so creative, and it's like they're artists because they're not holding back, you know, like they don't hold back. They put out the imagery that they want to, like they created their own lane and the whole nine yards. And I respect it so much just because it helps me as an artist to get out of that comfortability of just like a street rapper or like a trap rapper. Like I can also do other music, hip hop, pop, like club music, you know what I mean? So like major kudos, man, major kudos.
Yeah, like there's just like I would remember like Jay Will having said it, like, or as anybody would say it, there's more ways than one to do it. Like
yep, big facts, man.
Yeah, I'm just so I have this unique opportunity right now to round up the entire gang of Butter, because I basically have just one dude after this. It's just heartbreak after this point, after we're done with this episode. So basically, like, spoken to the whole Butter crew. Nobody's done that. I'd like to be the first to do that, though.
Hey, major shout out, man, for real. Because, like, when I seen that, like, when I even saw the comments to even be a part of it, I was like, what? I hit Lewis up. I'm like, hey, did you see that? I'm like, yo, because I was like, I've been watching it, man. Yeah. I've been watching it back from the Philippines, or even when he went out there for the tour for the, in the Philippines.
Right.
And I was like so sad because I really wanted to go out there, man. And man, I started watching their guys like episodes and stuff like that. And I was like, man, this is a little bit different, because like a lot of podcasts, like, you know, man, you don't really see a lot of Asian artists or Asian like businesses or whatever the case may be. And, you know, with, again, like my background, you know, to be able to be a part of the Asian community still, and to be able to be seen as well as an Asian artist as well, means a lot to me, you know, like honestly, because growing up, it wasn't always like that.
So yeah, does it still exist to this day, though? Like, is it still tough to be Asian at the same be a citizen and be Asian at the same time?
So being an African American Korean American is one of those. It's kind of difficult, man.
It's unique, like, in a sense.
It's very unique. There was like another group that had said something about, like, you know, being a mixed child and, you know, oh, you didn't have it really that hard growing up. But it's like, I wasn't really accepted in like the Korean community because of my complexion and because, you know, my father being African-American. But then I try to go to the African-American side and it's like, bro, like, you're not really black, bro. Like,
you're light skinned.
You know, you're light, exactly. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you light skinned, bro. You goddamn cappuccino color, man, bro. Like, nah, dog. You know what I'm saying? So it's like one of those things where it's like, okay. Okay, like, so where should I fit in? You know what I mean? Like, so growing up was kind of weird, you know, but as of today, I think it's a little bit more easier to get that acceptance just because, like, I'm a little bit older. They have a little bit more of a understanding of my background. And as well as, like, I'm not just speaking on, like, one community. I'm speaking on both, and I'm trying to make sure that I shine light to make sure that folks understand that, you know, we are in a different time and a different era, and I would love to see y'all work and connect and do stuff like this, because instead of seeing it like, you know, this culture is like, you know, taken away from my culture, or oh, this culture is copying, like, nah, we just showing love, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, in my opinion, like, there are so many different communities that grow up in different ways and actually similar ways, and if folks would take that time to like kind of understand folks' background and why people are the way that they are, then we would be a little bit more farther and even excelling in this industry too.
Super true. We come to think of it, like, you strip our skin, that's all muscle, fat, and bone. We all look alike. Shit. I just don't understand why is it going this far, though. Although, I may not feel the gravity of that situation, because I'm where I'm from, so you know, it's still like maybe like a dog eat dog world out here. Like, you know, we're fighting tooth and nail with each other out here, but it's a different context when you talk about, because I believe America is just a cocktail, right? Like, you know, it's a mix of cultures. It's the melting pot of like the entire planet. Like, you would find different folks up in there. Like, I understand that would be like different communities, but the good thing about this though is I believe that it's all we all live parallel lives, and it's just different contexts for every community, I guess. Like, and
how would you feel like for instance, like, I've always wanted to know, because like, man, I ain't gonna lie, like, I've definitely wanted to do shows overseas and stuff like that, like in predominantly Asian countries and like just different countries, period. But I've always like wondered, like, how would it be for an individual myself to like go out there to do shows in the Philippines, and like, how would I connect with like people of the Filipino community? Just because, like, you know, I know that here in the United States, like, I wouldn't say it's watered down, because I don't really 100% know, but if it's anything like the Korean community or whatever, I know that it's kind of like Americanized. So like, how is it like out there in the Philippines? Like, how would I be able to like connect out there?
I mean, you already did. Like, you already did this. How about what we're doing?
For sure.
Butter. Doing butter.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, how would you have come across the Filipinos' radar if you weren't featured in? I mean, like, how Mike Swift would have coined it, like, he had a name for himself in New York, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but going home, in his homecoming, he had to pay his respects to the dons of that current era, which was Francis M and Andrew E. Rest in peace, Francis M and Andrew E. But I think that's you can never go wrong with tapping into like the local figures, like such as and there's a good news though. I think it's not just cookies out there.
Yeah,
there's a fuck ton of artists in the Philippines, bro. like 1 out of 10, and you can do damage for sure.
Man, I would just love to do like more work with the Filipino artists out there, man. Like, honestly, I would definitely love to, just so that like when I go out there, it wouldn't just be like, you know, just attention on me. Like, I want to be able to collab and like be able to have like a bigger, you know, event planned with artists out there, because at the end of the day, it's not my home, but I would love to be able to make it my home one day, you know.
And, oh, for sure. No, or are you just saying that because you're talking?
Yeah, nah, like, honestly, bro, like, I mean, like, I used to live in Seattle, so like the Filipino community out there is like really big, you know what I'm saying?
Shout out to the homies.
So, like, Seattle was like really interesting for me, because that's when I kind of like got into like Filipino restaurants because of like my mom's ex-husband and stuff like that.
Okay.
Like, it was kind of dope, but then at the same time, it's like, it makes you kind of wonder like how it is actually in the country itself. You know what I mean? Because I grew up, a lot of people probably wouldn't know, like, I grew up around like a lot of Vietnamese, Cambodians, and, you know, Spanish.
Yeah, but come to think of it, like, the cuisine's not that far off, you know, like, Southeast Asian oriented feel. Yeah, yeah.
But I just feel like it's always different, that authentic, that, like, real, like, authenticness, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can only really get that back in, like, the motherlands, bro. You know, like, bring it home, but, like, I feel like just so much recipes are so much more natural, like, when I see the foods that are there in the Philippines, like, it reminds me of like Korean foods, bro. Like, it's all like natural. It's all like healthy foods and stuff like that, but it's so flavorful. You know what I mean?
That's why I'm like, and check this out. Korean Korean food is like big here, like really big. Yep.
Oh man, see, yeah, I gotta go now.
Yeah. I
I
mean, they
gotta
try.
go.
They try. I mean, you probably won't. I mean, it's probably give you nostalgia, I guess. If like if you're a fan, I mean, if you've grown up like eating Korean food all your life, I wouldn't know what that's like. But I mean, you try the Korean restaurants, and for the Filipinos, it's probably like the best thing ever because they have no idea how Korean tastes like. Like, you know, what Korean dish tastes like. So, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah. Man, so out there, like, obviously, I wouldn't be able to smoke, but like
that though, like, yeah, you gotta.
I'd be.
Yeah.
What is y'all liquor like out there?
I mean, the liquor's fine.
Yeah.
Cigarettes fine. I mean, everybody's probably shifted to like vaping now. Liquor's
yeah.
still liquor's still there, but the
gotta try some.
Yeah. Yeah, the rum is good here too. And we've got some we've got easy access to like locally fermented goods, like from coconuts to rice wine to stuff would give you diarrhea.
Hey, we got a lot of that stuff out here too. It's all right.
Moonshine, okay. Like stuff like that, right?
Man, see, look, I'm not gonna lie. I haven't had like moonshine in such a long time, but like the moonshine that I typically would drink, it's not even from the United States,
oh.
Which is the craziest part about it. Yeah, like, so my oldest daughter's mom is from Nicaragua, which is like Central America. So they would go on like vacation and
they'd bring home some
back, you know, and it sucks because it goes down like water, man. And you wake up on the floor.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you drink it like shots just back to back, man.
Yeah.
But like, I'm a tequila guy. You know, I like tequila. I grew up off of like Hennessy and stuff like that and Crown, but I had to change my drinks, man. And just environment, I guess.
Right.
Like, in my Asian community is big on like Hennessy, VSOP, and like Crown and stuff like that. But then like I kind of like wanted to change the scene a little bit. And when I did, like I got into like tequilas and stuff like that. More actually just tequila for a while. So like right now, for instance, I'm on a tequila binge. So what is it? A drink that I like right now is like this Modelo. They got this mango and chili flavor. That's like my favorite right now.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Hey, there's so much innovation going on in the alcohol business. Like it's kind of like more personalized now to a consumer's liking. Like it's ripe. The industry is so ripe at this moment. Like they actually pay attention to what people want to drink. And if you probably like throw in like a suggestion out there, like, hey, do this flavor or like have a cannabis flavor for tequila or something, they probably do it. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, at this point, like there's so much, there's a lot, like people are so business minded now, like they want to do their own shit, like they want to do something that nobody's ever done before, so they gotta probably pay attention to what people want,
man. Yeah, that would be dope though, man. Go out there and create my own little tequila and stuff like that, man, and just do shows and just have them all, like just pass it out to shows and shit, man.
Right.
That'd be lit.
That's good. It's probably gonna be dope. That you're big. Are you big into alcohol? Like you like the? Do you like that better than weed though, or you want to have both?
Hell no! I was waiting for that question.
Of course, I was gonna ask you.
Cannabis is. I'm not gonna lie. So cannabis is my like. Cannabis is my go-to.
Right.
Like I've been smoking for some time now. I've been dabbled in other festivities, but
right.
as of you know who I am today, you would not. Like other than now when I go to the Philippines, but or like other countries and shit, you know what I'm saying? Like you won't see me like without a blunt, man. Like when I'm
you gotta have
I wouldn't say like I got it. It's just like I like the feeling. You know what I mean? Like Alcohol is cool, but like, I don't like to drink too much just because,
right.
like,
yeah.
unless I'm like in a good environment and good energies all around, yeah, I'm not gonna get like shit face drunk. I guess like at home or like, you know, at shows and stuff like that. But like, other than that, nah, man. Alcohol is kind of like, is one of those things like, I'll drink, but I'm not gonna go crazy.
have you had to like once you which came first for you though? Which was more accessible?
Wasn't none of these. It wasn't none of these, I'll tell you that. It's a weird story. I stumbled upon weed, man, in high school. Yeah, so let's just say I magically came up with a bag.
Okay.
And when I got to when I got home, I was looking in my bag and I was like, wait, what is this? You know what I'm saying? And like,
let's just say something happened.
Yeah, I talked to my friend. Like, it wasn't nothing like, you know, like nothing yeah. crazy. It's like, I saw something. I was like, oh, I'm looking around. Like, there was nobody there. I'm like, okay, cool, you know. And when I seen it, I was like, oh, my friend told me that. Yeah, man, this is sweet. Oh, all right. What do you do with this? You know. And that's, I mean, it was kind of a weird story. But here in Colorado, man, it's like home. Shit. It's like going to a grocery store.
Oh, yeah. So I was really curious because which came first? Was it the alcohol or the weed, or did you had to like do a change of consumption? Like, I had to shift to weed now, or because a lot of folks look up to stuff like that as an escapism. Like, that's why we have like a lot of folks need to have like at least a glass of brandy or wine or whatever after their 9 to 5 or after a hard day's work. And I think it's the same thing for weed, or how weed connoisseurs would coin it. But it's so interesting for me because a lot of folks need to have that, especially with what's going on in this world right now. I highly believe that the soonest things like that get talked about, or probably get, especially for here, bro, it's probably not an option right now. It's not even, I don't know if it's even in the talks, you know, like, yeah. And for me, I consume a lot of West, stuff from the West, and the innovations that are happening right now there's talks of like psilocybin, like mushrooms, like cordyceps, like it's a regular thing now in some states, right?
Yeah.
Like, fuck, I actually feel like, why are we not having that in our country? So it's probably think like the lack of education, and I still think there's a lot of gatekeepers, and they I don't know if that's like they're trying to scapegoat us because we're not disciplined as a country, and they're afraid like we're not educated yet. You know, like, we're a third world country, bro. And I don't know if you introduce something like that in this country, or if that gets normalized in this country, I get skeptical at times. Like, I don't even know what's going to happen. You know,
I mean, I feel you on that. Cause like, I mean, here even like, it seems like a trap, even, you know what I'm saying, to even open like a cannabis business like nowadays, because like they'll give us the okay, and then like next thing you know, like next year there's like a new law, or the year after that there's right. like another law that refrains us from doing what we were doing just the year previous, just because of maybe the influx of money, or you have a lot of black market. So a lot of black market is going to target what black market targets, like kids and stuff like that. So obviously it's going to make it a little bit harder. So, I mean, like, as far as other countries, bro, like, I don't even understand it myself, bro. Like, I just, cannabis, cannabis, man, is such a, it's a plant, you know, like it's right. a plant was always used for medicinal purposes. It wasn't always used for a recreational purpose. They create, in my opinion, they created a recreational purpose to fund it, to create more money, create more revenue.
True.
But other than that, like, I don't really see a real reason as to why it's like not monetizable on all platforms, or why it's not in all countries where they can actually study it, learn about it, so they right. can have an actual understanding of what they are saying no to. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, it's a lot of medicinal purposes. We're just federally not legal enough to speak on it.
Yeah. Hence why you were shadow banned, right?
Yeah.
So the,
exactly.
So it's legal in a sense, but there's this still kind of invisible force field around it, like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. But still very fortunate to be as a consumer of weed and be in Colorado right now, right?
Yeah, it is. I would definitely say that. I mean, like, since I've been out here for going on 3 years, I think. Now, and I've learned how to grow cannabis. I've learned how to like consume it differently.
Did you create your own strain? Like, you have your own strain or something?
Actually, we do.
Really?
We actually do. Where
do you have a name for it now?
Honestly, not anymore. Just because, like, I feel like the name that we had for it before is, in a sense, not going to be so marketable. We wanted to call it Swedish Fish back in the day. Because, like, so the first time I grew it, it was crazy because, like, it smelled like Swedish Fish. It smelled like the candy. It right. tasted sweet. It was amazing. Like, it was a great strain. So, like, the only issue was the marketing aspect of it, because how are we going to create like imagery on it? Then you have to think about the actual candy, the right. company, and just like, you know, oh, they're targeting the wrong, you know, people. So now it's more so, what can we do to change that? So, I mean, I have a company name and stuff like that for it. Now it's more so like, we're going to get back into the whole growing aspect. We just had to clear some things up, and right. we're good to go now.
Yeah. Curious. You said like you consumed it in in different types of ways. Like, yeah. for folks like, hey man, like, you're probably like educated where you're at, like, and the folks in Colorado are probably like educated with what weed is. Yeah. Up here, like, you find blokes such as myself, like still don't know a thing about cannabis. I'm not even a big I don't even consume weed.
Yeah.
Probably had like weed twice in my life, and just that. I just know the feeling.
Yeah.
But like, for somebody who's like listening to this for the first time, like, there's so many ways to chop weed up, right? Like, you got dabs, you got bongs, and you got, okay. Can you name the, like, can you give me like how to, like, a list of how to consume weed? Like, you know, just some weed education now. You're like,
I got you. So for me, for instance, I like to like roll, like, I'll break down my weed and like roll it up in like blunts. I like papers, so we call those joints.
Right.
Bongs are not like my go-to, like, just
because. Why not?
It burns my throat, man. Like, okay. I can never like get past that.
Have you seen the way Cypress, the Cypress Hill Gang does it? Like, they do that every gig, right?
Bro, yeah, bro. Like, that's wild. Like, bro, like, if you gave me a fat blunt, I'm all for it. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, even when it comes down to like wax, which is like, you can get the flower and like add a little bit of heat to it, press it, and there's going to be a wax which comes out. You can smoke that even. That's in a sense called a dab.
Yeah. I've seen those things.
I can smoke it from bongs and stuff like that, like everybody else. But man, I'll start coughing my lung up. So like, I'd rather inside. Like, I'd rather put it inside of my blunt. So, like, before I add the flower inside of it, I'll smear the wax inside, then put the flower on top, and then roll it up. So, yeah, like, cannabis. Oh, man, they also have, like, snacks, like edibles.
Edibles. And drinks and stuff. I heard they hit different.
So, for me, I don't know. Like, I know how to make edibles. The edibles I make, they definitely, man, they're like more so of like a body high. Like,
right,
you're just really, really relaxed. Your body's just jello at that point. But then, like, there's like a syrup even. You can mix it in drinks. And that's become something that I really like too, because when you drink it, man, I don't even know how to really explain it, because it's not fully in your bloodstream, but yeah, like, I don't know how to really explain the whole like syrup aspect of it. But it hits really hard.
Right.
9 out of 10, I'll take that if I just want to say, like, screw it, I'm just going to go to sleep.
Yeah.
But I mean, I like rolling it up more than anything. I like the taste. So,
plus, like, the feeling that you worked hard for that roll up, like, right?
Yeah,
it's a ritual, right?
In a sense, bro, to me. I mean, like, there was a time where, you know, I kind of wanted to stop, like, rolling up, just because, like, the stuff that I was rolling up with were, like, tobacco products and stuff like that. But
do you mix them up?
Sometimes. It's been a while since I actually did that. But, like, sometimes, like, I know if I go to New York, that's all they do. You know, like,
okay,
when you go to New York, they mix tobacco, like the inside of cigarette stuff. They'll mix that with their weed and then roll it up in a joint paper and then smoke it like that.
It's probably like a weird feeling, weird taste to it.
As long as you don't put too much tobacco and, like, just enough, it doesn't hit too hard. It's just, it gives it like a menthol-y taste. Okay. And then, like, it kind of hits a little bit harder for sure. Like, really? To me, I can't really say that for everybody, but to me, it definitely hits a little bit harder. But to each their own.
Yeah. And not only the leisure side of weed, and there's like medicinal properties out of weed too, like the CBD stuff, right? That thing's big. That thing's huge.
CBD is definitely something that, in my honest opinion, I feel like a lot more people should have access to.
Right.
Especially just because, like, you know, there are people who likes to have that euphoric feeling, but at the same time, like, you have people who will get that euphoric feeling and, like, kind of like psych out. So CBD is definitely a great alternative. It's not too strong. You get the great taste of the flower itself. But it also, like, it targets potential, like, illnesses. Like, if you have back problems, joint pains and stuff.
Inflammation like that. And stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Yep, it helps a lot with all of that, which is awesome. You know what I mean? But, like, a lot of people don't really know, like, you also need the THC factor of the cannabis plant for CBD to actively work.
For it, like, to taste better.
No, like, actually, like, the medicinal purposes behind it, like, they will actually, like, really explain to you, like, you actually have to have a good balance of the THC component mixed with the CBD component for you to actually really have a great actual feeling the way that it's supposed to be for the CBD use. And a lot of people are not able to get that full factor and effect just because, like, of the legalities. But out here, and you can get some really good CBD products, and, like, you won't feel, like, high, but you'll feel really, really, really relaxed.
Man, that's so important. Like, I don't know if that's the same thing you get out of when you do shrooms or DMT or, you know, stuff like to relieve you from, like, they give you microdoses of to relieve you from depression and stuff. Like, has CBD that kind of effect though? Like, makes you feel good? Like, you know, gets you off that? Or it's the other way around? Because I think, like, weed and marijuana is, like, associated with a lot of paranoia too.
So a lot of the paranoia, in my opinion, comes from, like, if you're going to smoke a sativa or an indica.
Right.
Sativa is going to definitely get you out, like out of your mind, in a sense. It's going to speed up everything. It's going to make you have that racy feeling. But then you have the indica like dominant strains that are going to get you more mellow, more tired, more relaxed, more hungry. You know what I mean? So
the munchies.
With shrooms and stuff like that, it's kind of, I wouldn't say it's like similar at all, man. Like, it's even if like, actually, no, I take that comment back, because what I learned is that you can eat a certain amount and obviously you can have that psychoactive effect where you can like see like different shit, you're tripping out, lights are changing and shifting and stuff like that. But there's also something called microdosing. Microdosing is like you're taking like a 0.5 or a 0.3 in a capsule and you're going to swallow that. And when you do, you're going to feel like you just smoked a pound of weed. Everything's going to be funny. Everything's going to be like light is going to be brighter. You go outside, you'll see vibrations, but you won't like actually like trip out. You know what I mean? So I think that honestly, like it can go hand in hand as well, too. But the CBD aspect of it, I would just say more so, it's more so of like a body thing, man. Like that, you're not gonna like get that high unless like you're really smoking or you're consuming something with a really high THC percentage as well as mixed with the CBD.
Right. Hey, you know what? This is so important what we're doing. People just gonna listen to this long. Well, they're talking about weed, they're normalizing weed, but I think stuff that usually doesn't get accepted or has like a people get skeptic about usually gets normalized and eventually becomes the norm like 50 years down the line, like sure. So was rap, or so was the LGBTQ community. Like, you know, this is important because not only do you hear this stuff from experts, and I don't know, like, are folks from the weed industry or from the cannabis industry, are they revered to us experts? Are they respected? Are they respected or revered to as someone as in a, such as people hold to such a standard, like they respect this individual who talks about weed? Like like around 10 years ago, like people were like, what are you talking about? Why are you doing this? Or it's such a pleasant thing to hear and see, like professionals, like scientists, even talk about this stuff. Like I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Andrew Huberman, the guy who gets to talk on Joe Rogan's podcast a lot, or gets to hop on other folks' shows, like to talk about human anatomy and the potential of what a human body can achieve. And he talks about a lot of substance too, like incorporating like psychedelics or the effects of weed. Like folks such as him who shed a light on substances such as this are really important. And what you're doing right now, you're talking, you're speaking on behalf of like one as a consumer who has full context. And people fuck with that. You can't be like you can't be someone who's like talk about weed and who just did weed once. Like I'm not the right person for that. And that's why we're providing this avenue. And what you're saying right now is important for folks who would love to dive into this kind of industry in the future, who just like to be a steady consumer, you know.
Of course.
And how often times do you get to explain weed to somebody?
I mean, like nowadays, like only out here, you know, but like when you do, it's like everybody thinks that they really like know about it because they smoke it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know the plant because I smoke it. You know, like I've actually grown it. I've actually like lived with my plants, you know, like I've actually like studied on how to like actually come up with a feeding regime to actually make it so that it's a little bit more potent, or make it more sweeter, or make it more stronger, whatever the case may be, you know. And other factors of what we can use for. So like, instead of just smoking the plant, I typically try to make edibles. Like when I was using my medical card, I was actually able to grow more, and I was actually able to have people who were like veterans. Like, for instance, my neighbor, he's a Afghanistan veteran. Like, he fought in that war, you know, during 9/11 and stuff like that. And like, doctors and stuff pump him with like pharmaceutical pills and stuff like that.
Yes, and stuff we don't even know.
Yeah, and he's come to me on numerous occasions. Like, when I was growing my weed here, see, we're able to give weed to people as gifts, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
I was able to give him like a little care package, and I was like, hey, you know, this strain was for specifically for this. This strain is going to help you sleep. This strain is going to help you like get a little bit more active. I know that, you know, the medicine that you were taking kind of got you in like a mood, you know, like in a depression. So I was, try this in the morning. And when I say like the next day, a couple of days after, like, he's coming back and forth for it, because it's like, I don't have to take my medicine anymore. You know, like my daughter's mom.
Yeah, that's such a good feeling to hear. I mean, that's such a good news to hear, right?
Like, shit. And that's the reason why, like, we really honestly got into it, you know, because right. Like before, my youngest daughter's mom, she used to have really bad anxiety too, you know, and like growing up, like my mom was like addicted to pills. So it's like one of those things. It wasn't one of those things where she was like actively out of her way where, you know, she was just finding the pills. Like, no, nah, like her doctor, she would go and say like she was in more pain, and they would just pump her with stronger medicine. And after a while, what happens is you form an addiction. And so seeing that, I just didn't want my daughter's mom, to go through, like, in a sense, the same thing and be codependent on something like that. And if you're going to be codependent on something, I'd rather it be something more natural instead of something right. that's, like, altering you as a person. So what more to help her than putting her onto, like, cannabis? Or what am I going to do? Here, take a shot. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I'd rather give her something that, you know, it's more comfortable in a safe environment, and something yeah. that is more modern nowadays as well. And it's not the whole hip thing. And if you want to have it in a more conspicuous way where you're not smelling profusely of cannabis, like, there's other ways to go about it in the norm.
Yeah.
And it actually did help her, like, get off of these medications. It's helped a lot of people get off of medications that they really shouldn't be on.
Right.
And again, it's like you're saying, a lot of people would probably look at it as we're trying to normalize cannabis, but no, I see it as more of an informative thing, because a lot of people are sheltered from actual facts and
right.
like, information about these kind of things, you know? So to be able to express it and to be able to talk about it, I mean, it's a blessing, honestly, nowadays.
Right. I mean, to get this, the fact that you get to be able to talk about something you know so well, and like, you probably like, it's a big part of your life, and you get more reinforced by the idea that this actually helps someone, my neighbor or a vet who's probably have like, man, those vets, shout out to the vets, like, they go through shit like we can't, we yeah. That's real trauma right there. And for something like, you know, for you, like, to, for a neighbor to come up to you, like, man, you're that makes you fulfilled in a sense, like, oh, shit, I helped someone.
Yeah, for sure. And it helps in a different sense. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, we'll talk over a blunt. We'll just talk about, like, what he's going through. Because sometimes, right. just like men, just like an everyday person, just like a woman, just like a friend, like, people just want to be, like, heard. You know, they understand that we might not fully understand what they went through.
Yeah.
But it's just to be able to have that conversation with somebody like,
it's all they need.
You know what I mean? So it's a good thing. It's a great feeling. And that's what also, like, you can cycle back to the music. That's the whole purpose of it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, to connect with the people, because we make music of things that we go through or things that we've experienced or other stories of people that are scared to put their story out. And to be able to have that platform and to talk about these things and help other people that we might not even know. I mean, that's, I mean, that's the kind of shift that we needed, and that's the kind of shift that we're on now.
Powerful, man. Hey, like, yeah, I've learned a lot today. It, you know, like, consumer education is important. You know, I've learned that for some folks, they want to do weed alone, which is a preference type of thing. It's like a set and setting, like, they don't want to be vulnerable at the wrong time as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. This is important. For us to be talking about something for your community or for the consumers of weed, this sheds a light, and before they actually start to become consumers, at least they get that information from somewhere.
Exactly.
A podcast or like the unlikeliest places or from some form of content. I hope it doesn't get shadow banned though. especially here, bro. Those things you don't openly talk about. Still a taboo to talk about those things.
Yeah.
We're at the back end of the world here, the Philippines. That's why I did what I do. I don't know if it's ahead of its time or if this is the actual place for it, but still gonna continue doing this because we don't know. We might affect somebody's life hopefully for the good or for the positive, you know.
For sure. Especially,
yeah. Hey, real quick, enjoyed talking to you. Can you talk real quick about your upcoming music? Like, do you have something brewing?
Oh man, for sure. So in May, Pizza Palace and myself, we got like Cookies and a lot of like predominantly dope artists.
New material, huh?
Man, we got a whole EP that's gonna be dropping. And May, it's gonna be called Respectfully Dangerous.
Oh, is it safe to say it now though? Shit, is in this podcast?
Yeah, you know, so I'm actually super excited because this is a project that I'm actually gonna have a lot of songs on as well. Innocence is gonna be kind of like a debut. Being a part of a project with a lot of dope, like top tier, you know, artists in my perspective, you know what I mean? And to be able to be on a platform with them to share this project is going to be awesome. We're working on a 420 podcast. It's not just solely about what we were just talking about, but it's also about bringing light to like particular communities here in Colorado. Like certain businesses that people have, independent businesses. We have a bike team out here. We got Draco Gang. We have Team 8 out here that gets foundations and fundraisers and stuff like that together out here. Write out handouts and stuff where they go feed the homeless and, you know, just give back to the community as well as putting on like what we call stunt shows. So we're going to definitely have like more
stunt shows.
Yeah, man, they pop wheelies, man. They do like burnouts, man. They do a lot of tricks on bikes that, you know, you kind of only see on online. So to be able to bring that to like the kids and to the community, I think that was pretty dope. And to actually shed a little bit more light to that is going to be awesome. Got a single with Young Jay that I got produced by Lewis himself, called Duck, that we're working on right now too. We're trying to finish up. So we got a lot of good things going right now, man. And I'm really excited to even have you a part of it too.
Thanks.
Hopefully when we circle back, we can talk about these new things too.
Yeah. And look back on these, like stuff we talked about.
Man, for sure, man. Like I really deeply appreciate you having me on your podcast today and just taking the time to get a little bit of insight about me as an artist and shedding light to the projects coming up and the projects we've done. So thank you again, majorly, man.
Oh, for sure, man. 100%. Like, I always believe, like, you know, this is the minimum bare I can do for someone. Like, just talking, this is just isn't enough, you know, for me. Like, like what you said, music is like nothing. I mean, it's easy as breathing for you. This is like probably the equivalent of that for me. And I think it's I gotta grow as well. We at the platform needs to grow as well and not just limit ourselves to a podcast episode. I mean, we gotta be contextual that we are providing more context to listeners, you know. We're not looking at this at the surface level. We're gonna, and there's my dog out there, she's barking. We're gonna probably normalize these kinds of conversation more often. You know, this is important. We got a question on this show. Like, the name of the show is Huge Upside. I'd like to know what you think about it. Not just the show, just the name. Like, what does it mean for you? Like, it's a personal definition. Like, what's it mean to you? Huge Upside.
Honestly, man, I just feel like it's like a, in a sense, this is, you know, those interviews like right before a person kickstarts their career.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
It was like that. In my opinion, man, I've seen a lot of people on your platform and I've seen the artists that you work with, the kind of conversations that you guys had. They're very like intelligent. You know what I mean? They're very informative. They're very deep on perspectives of the artists, where they come from, you guys as a podcast itself. And I mean, if I really have to think about it, it's like a huge upscale, like incline. You know what I mean? Like, you guys are on a great incline, as well as the artists and the people that you bring to this podcast. So honestly, man, like, it's just a huge incline, man.
There you have it, friends. Hey, I really appreciate it, man. Josh, thank you for doing this. Man, really, really appreciate it. It's always nice to connect to somebody from the other side of the world. Like, you know, if you don't have the luxury to experience the world, you say, like, you know, to learn the world, like, you have to travel. And back then you used to achieve it by reading books or learn about it on Discovery Channel or travel TV or something. But you can also experience it as well in a podcast. Like, you know, we get to have like a POV of Josh in Colorado, what it's like to do music and do roll-ups.
Man, hopefully next time, though, I could be out there for this, man.
Yeah, please.
I'd love to be out there.
You're going to love it here.
We're going to do it. Me and Louis are going to be planning a trip out there. So don't worry. It's going to definitely come out.
You're going to see Josh soon in the Philippines, y'all. Hey, man, I have to say, got to say goodbye for now. Folks, that is it. Please go follow Foreign Logic on all his socials and his music. Or better yet, just go follow Palace 777, right?
Yes, sir. Pizza Palace 777. Or Official Foreign Logic 777. Either or.
There you have it. I have to say goodbye for now, everybody. Bye, everyone. Thanks, man.
Yes, sir.